Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Theologian Henry Drummond, a contemporary of Mrs. Eddy's, published a book on love, the greatest thing in the world. She once said she had intended to write such a book herself, but Professor Drummond had done it so well that he had saved her the effort. The book is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Bible. He expounds how the spectrum of love has 9 main, what he calls, ingredients: patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. He says these make up the supreme gift, the stature of the perfect man. I'm going to be taking the second ingredient, kindness, and through the readings of the Bible and the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, discuss this aspect of love. This is what Drummond has to say about kindness. Love, active. Have you ever noticed how much of a Christ's life was spent in doing kind things, in merely doing kind things? Run over it with that in view, and you will find that he spent a great proportion of his time simply in making people happy, in doing good turns to people. There is only one thing greater than happiness in the world, and that is holiness. And it is not in our keeping. But what God has put in our power is the happiness of those about us. And that is largely to be secured by our being kind to them. The greatest thing, says someone, a man can do for his heavenly Father is to be kind to some of his other children. I will pass through this world but once. Any good thing, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not detour it or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Now let's begin our service by singing hymn number 530. Love is kind and suffers long. Love is meek and thinks no wrong. Love than death itself more strong. Therefore give us love. Hymn number 530.
Thank you.
I'll read from the Bible. 1 Corinthians. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Jeremiah. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. 2 Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. Genesis. So Abram left Egypt and traveled north into Negev, along with his wife and Lot and all that they owned. But the land could not support both Abram and Lot with all their flocks and herds living so close together. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land. Finally, Abram said to Lot, Let's not allow this conflict to come between us and our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll take the land to the right. If you prefer the land on the right, then I'll go to the left. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, Look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I am giving all this land as far as you can see to you and to your descendants as permanent possession. Leviticus. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and when they reached Moab, they settled there. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other married a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." So Naomi returned from Moab, and accompanied by her daughter-in-law, Ruth, the young Moabite woman, they arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the beginning of the barley season. One day, Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters, and as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young woman working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied. "But I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers." So Ruth gathered barley there all day, and when she beat out the grain that evening, it filled an entire basket. She carried it back into town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave her the roasted grain that was left over from her meal. "Where did you gather all this grain today?" Naomi asked. "Where did you work? May the Lord bless the one who helped you." So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked. She said, "The man I worked with today is named Boaz." "May the Lord bless him," Naomi told her daughter-in-law. "He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers." Then Ruth said, "What's more, Boaz even told me to come back and stay with his harvesters until the entire harvest is completed." "Good," Naomi exclaimed. "Do as he said, my daughter. Stay with his young women right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields, but you'll be safe with him." So Ruth worked alongside the women in Boaz's fields and gathered grain with them until the end of the barley harvest. Then she continued working with them through the wheat harvest in early summer. Leviticus. "The stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. Isaiah. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Psalms. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Christian Science commands man to master their propensities, to hold hatred in abeyance with kindness, to conquer lust with chastity, revenge with charity, and to overcome deceit with honesty. A pure affection takes form in goodness, but science alone reveals the divine principle of goodness and demonstrates its rule. Immortal man demonstrates the government of God good, in which is no power to sin. Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? This command includes much, even the surrender of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master, and material sense and human will have no place. The test of all prayer lies in the answer to these questions. Do we love our neighbor better because of this asking? Do we pursue the old selfishness, satisfied with having prayed for something better, though we give no evidence of the sincerity of our request, by living consistently with our prayer? If selfishness has given place to kindness, we shall regard our neighbor unselfishly and bless them that curse us. But we shall never meet this great duty simply by asking that it may be done. There is a cross to be taken up before we can enjoy the fruition of our hope and faith. Are you willing to leave all for Christ, for truth, and so be counted among sinners? No. Do you really desire to attain this point? No. Then why make long prayers about it and ask to be Christians, since you do not care to tread in the footsteps of our dear Master? If unwilling to follow his example, why pray with lips that you may be partakers of his nature? Consistent prayer is the desire to do right. Mind science teaches that mortals need not be weary in well-doing. It dissipates fatigue in doing good. Giving does not impoverish us in the service of our Maker. Neither does withholding enrich us. We have strength in proportion to our apprehension of the truth, and our strength is not lessened by giving utterance to the truth. Common opinion admits that a man may take cold in the act of doing good, and that this cold may produce fatal pulmonary disease, as though evil could overbear the law of love and check the reward for doing good. In the science of Christianity, mind, omnipotence, has all power, assigns sure rewards to righteousness, and shows that matter can neither heal nor make sick, create nor destroy. Spiritual perception brings out the possibilities of being, destroys reliance on aught but God, and so makes man the image of his Maker in deed and in truth. God never punishes man for doing right, for honest labor, or for deeds of kindness, though they expose him to fatigue, cold, heat, contagion. If man seems to incur the penalty through matter, this is but a belief of mortal mind, not an enactment of wisdom. And man has only to enter his protest against this belief in order to annul it. We should relieve our minds from the depressing thought that we have transgressed a material law and must of necessity pay the penalty. Let us reassure ourselves with the law of love. Through this action of thought and its results upon the body, the student will prove to himself by small beginnings the grand verities of Christian Science. Human affection is not poured forth vainly, even though it meet no return. Love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, and elevating it. The wintry blasts of earth may uproot the flowers of affection and scatter them to the winds, but this severance of fleshly ties serves to unite thought more closely to God, for love supports the struggling heart until it ceases to sigh over the world and begins to unfold its wings for heaven. Giving a cup of cold water in Christ's name is a Christian service. Laying down his life for a good deed, mortal man should find it again. Such acts bear their own justification and are under the protection of the Most High. Students are advised by the author to be charitable and kind, not only towards differing forms of religion and medicine, but to those who hold these differing opinions. Let us be faithful in pointing the way through Christ as we understand it, but let us also be careful always to judge righteous judgment and never to condemn rashly. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That is, fear not that he will smite thee again for thy forbearance. If ecclesiastical sects or medical schools turn a deaf ear to the teachings of Christian Science, then part from these opponents, as did Abraham when he parted from Lot, and say in thy heart, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. The best sermon ever preached is truth practiced and demonstrated by the destruction of sin, sickness, and death. Knowing this, and knowing too that one affection would be supreme in us and take the lead in our lives, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. We cannot build safely on false foundations. Truth makes a new creature in whom old things pass away and all things are become new. Passions, selfishness, false appetites, hatred, fear, all sensuality yield to spirituality, and the superabundance of being is on the side of God, good. We cannot fill vessels already full. They must first be emptied. Let us disrobe error. Then when the winds of God blow, we shall not hug our tatters close about us. The way to extract error from mortal mind is to pour in truth through flood tides of love. Christian perfection is won on no other basis. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. And let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let's sing our second hymn. Love is life's true crown and glory. Love the splendor of the light. Truly is God's counsel gentle. Truly all his ways are bright. Jesus knew the law of kindness, healing mind and heart of blindness, and in heavenly wisdom taught, holy works of love he wrought. Hymn number 178. Welcome to all those that have joined us on the call-in line. I do have a couple of three announcements. First of all, I want to remind you of this coming Saturday's event. It's going to be held here at our church. It's sponsored by Longyear Museum. It's a book talk on a newly published book, Life at 400 Beacon Street. Working in Mary Baker Eddy's Household by Heather Vogel Frederick. It will be held here at 10 o'clock in the morning. and hope you can be here. It's supposed to be really fantastic. And another reminder is that this coming Sunday, please set your clocks back so that you show up on time. I also have received, hot off the press, on November the 17th, after church, the board is inviting you all to stay after church for a social sharing time with refreshments, and hope you can make that as well. Scott has the microphone. If you wish to share, you please feel free to stay seated, but hold your microphone nice and close to your mouth, and so that everybody online can hear, and also those in the audience can hear. I do have someone sent in a testimony, so I will start off the testimony and share this with you. In this week's Bible lesson, Mrs. Eddy's statement about the first commandment being her favorite text. What a powerful and thought-provoking comment. Brought to mind an experience I had many years ago that continues to bless and resonate today. I completed my undergraduate work in the 80s, at a time when the economy was less than strong. Unemployment was at a high point and interest rates were through the roof. As the second semester commenced, friends and fraternity brothers, etc., were stressed and obsessed with finding a job. There was a tremendous amount of anxiety, interviewing and competition, and I found myself caught up in the drama. Well, one day, while feeling sorry for all of us looking for our career starts, I recalled my years in the Christian Science Sunday School and some early yet lifelong lessons. This took me directly to the first commandment. It then occurred to me that not having other gods before the one God was far more than literal idol worship. I was very subtly making a god of the economic challenges of the nation, and in so doing was not acknowledging the omnipotence of divine mind and the true source of direction, supply, and employment. I absolutely knew better. My anxiety ceased, and rather than obsessing with my classmates and rushing to the mailboxes looking for offer letters, I affirmed the allness of the one and only God and his beloved reflections. There was a noticeable easing of the stress in my fraternity house. And by the time spring break arrived, not only did I have 3 viable employment offers, but others in the house had offers or strong prospects as well. I am forever grateful for this experience and for the blessing of being raised in the Christian Science Sunday School. The practicality and applicability of wisdom of the first commandment brings healing. And this was submitted by Jim Dew.
I'll say thank you for the readings tonight. I'm enjoying this series again, the expanded series on the greatest thing in the world is love that Gene is putting together for us. In this week's lesson, Mrs. Eddy states that Christian Science and divine love is omnipotent and omnipresent, and it is indeed adequate to unclasp the hold and to destroy disease, sin, and death. And I was thinking about that statement, how it helped my life in many different ways. I'm very grateful to Christian Science. I've had healings and demonstrations of all different types of situations, whether they're physical healings and sinus infection healed quickly, meaningful employment found, financial situations solved, a relationship problem solved, all through the application of Christian Science. I've had physical healings. I was hobbled with a cane for about a couple of years and was able to see my way through that through the application of Christian Science. I'm very grateful for not only Sunday school, but class instruction and my continued study of Christian Science. It helps each and every day make it go as smoothly as possible in this human experience. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to express my gratitude for the readings tonight on kindness. And kindness has always meant a lot to me, but I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about what it has meant to me in the last few years. As a child, I was severely bullied practically on a daily basis. And we turned to Christian Science when I was 7 years old. And I remember as the years went on, those early years when I was did not like school at all because of the way I was treated. And the Sunday school teachers who gave me so much love and compassion. I didn't talk about the bullying, but they just gave me so much love. And I just enjoyed going to Sunday school because it made me feel like I was somebody, you know, and it was so reassuring. My mother was a wonderful student of Christian Science, and at night when I would go to bed and she would listen to my prayers and I would cry often and talk about the people who were making fun of me, and she would always say, you need to pray for them. And I remember how difficult that was for me to do that at that time. So fast forward to the last 5, 6, or 7 years, I am a part now of Bully Safe USA, so I go to schools all over the Midwest, and especially here in the Indianapolis area, and I talk about bullying. But what I have chosen to do is emphasize kindness much more than the word bullying, which is way overused. So I go to classes, and I go to one class at a time, and the children sit in front of me on the floor, and it's almost magical, the things that happen and what comes forth from the children and how they are so in tune with their own emotions and how often there are tears. But there's also a lot of love outpouring from the other students and from the teachers. And I would like to just say that the poster that is now in almost every classroom in Washington Township, the big poster, and it says, kindness is cool, and no act of kindness is, every act of kindness is great. And so we talk a lot about kindness. And at the end of the talk, I always give them an assignment. We talk about random acts of kindness, and we talk about the different types of bullying. We also talk about how a bullier often has a sad heart, something that's bothering them, and rather than doing something unkind back to them, we need to love them and to show our love and to try to include them in some of the things that we're doing. Maybe they feel left out, and maybe ask them questions, what's going on that I could help you with and make you feel loved. So at the end, I give them an assignment. I say every night when you go to bed, think about those people that you gave kindness to today. We talk about filling buckets, the bucket filling book. And how many buckets or what buckets did you fill today? What people did you show kindness to? And then think about the people who showed kindness to you. And then the next day, thank them. Write them a little note or do something to thank them. So then at the very end, I ask them to share. Is there someone in the class that you would like to thank for an act of kindness that they did for you? And those times are so precious, how they'll pull up something maybe that someone said or did 2 years ago or a year ago or whatever, but they haven't forgotten that act of kindness. And we also do apologies, and the children learn how to do an apology. We talk about how important it is to forgive and the person who is apologizing. And the child will say, you know, I forgive you, and yes, I accept your apology. So the other day, a little girl raised her hand, and she said, Mrs. Leatherman, how do you forgive? And I really had to stop and think for a minute, and I said, well, of course we know we can apologize, and we can love other people, love those people. But my mother taught me that
I would pray for those people who were not nice to me and forgive them. And I thought, well, what are they going to do, fire me? You know? So I just will always remember that. In each class I have, I learned something from them. And one of the children one time said, was probably about 3 or 4 years ago, that she said, my mother said to me, as they talk about children who might have a hard time being kind, that maybe they have a sad heart. Something's going on in their life to make it sad. So I always give talks to the staffs at all the schools I go to before I actually talk to classrooms. So in talking to a staff recently, the mother came up and I gave the whole staff that example, and she came up and she said, I'm the mother that told that little boy about the sad heart. And I had never really met her before, so I thought that was kind of a neat connection. But every day, every time I go to a classroom, I always just come out high. I just am so happy to have this opportunity. And I go back and think about my mother and the things she taught me about the importance of being kind to others, and how my Sunday school teachers gave me that sense of compassion and love, unconditional love, that I will never forget. And I really would like so much to thank you for really making tonight special for me and talking about kindness. And I really appreciate the readings from the desk. And thank you very much.
Thank you. I love that testimony. Being a teacher as well, that is such an important part for setting the atmosphere of your classroom. And I just love that. I'm so happy you're in that program. It's going to bless the whole community.
That thought brings to mind the years and years. I taught for 37 years also, and I chose to teach mainly in inner city schools, and where there's a lot of need for love. And I was constantly reminding the children to love one another, and no matter what, we need to show kindness and speak kind words to each other. And recently, and I might have mentioned this in another testimony, but I was at a Panera Bread, and this gentleman was getting ready to take my order, and the lady beside him was the one that was flipping the burgers and what have you. And I don't know what exactly she said to him, but he looked at her and he said, don't speak to me like that. Show kindness when you talk to me, please. And I said, that is absolutely right. We all need to be kind to each other and speak kindly to each other. And he looks at me and he goes, huh, Mr. Leatherman, I remember I had you as a teacher. You talk to us all the time about being nice to each other and being kind and those kinds of things and using kind words. And wait a minute. And he came out from behind the counter and he opened up his wallet and he took out a little copper etching that I did as a project with the kids. He said, Mr. Leatherman, I still have my etching. And thank you for teaching us how to do the right things and be kind to each other. And that just really moved me, A, that he remembered all that, and B, that we do need to be kind and constantly use kind words and kind gestures to each other, because the old saying, what goes around comes around. And it's so true. And I just enjoyed my years of teaching and realized more and more so much of what came from me was things I learned as a Christian Scientist. I went to Christian Science Sunday school and have always been blessed with Christian Science. And it touches our lives and makes us, molds us. And kindness is a big part of that, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for the readings and for the series that you're doing too. You know, I'll be honest with you, you know, love is kind of an odd subject for me. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that I don't have like a particular love in my life, but I have a love for life and I have a love for people and different people that I know and even some people I don't really know. And so I remember thinking last week when you started the series, I just be honest here with everybody, I just, you know, it's like, you know, it's going to be about love, you know, love, 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 you know, and it's, when I think of love, you know, I think of people together and different things. But you know what you've done here is you've taken those nine qualities and it's, you know, it's about love, but it's about stressing what those nine qualities are. And, you know, patience was last week. And I love that quality. I like to exhibit it, and I like it to see it in others. And I feel the same about kindness, and I'm sure I feel the same way about all of them. But as you talk tonight about kindness, you know, you think, I just was thinking here a little bit about, you know, it costs money to do about anything. You want to go someplace, you want to eat something, you want to see somebody. You know, you got to put gas in your tank. You got to, you know, do this or whatever the case. But, you know, it doesn't cost a nickel to be kind to somebody. And people respond to that. You know, I'm on the phone all day long. You know, I talk to 100, 125 people on the phone all day long. And, you know, you're getting ready to call somebody at 10 till 5 and try and talk to them about computer and IT support. And they've worked all day, too, and they're ready to blow out of their deal there, you know, maybe they may not take kindly. That's the thought. That's the mortal thought. They may not take kindly to some guy calling out of nowhere about IT support. But, you know, and I talked this over with my, of course, I work with Gabe and Dory, you know, and the response just to being kind to people on the phone, I mean, you have a job to do, but, you know, you're approaching them with respect, and it always comes back. And that kindness, it's such a two-way street, and it just has always meant a lot to me. And I don't have my specs on, and this writing is a little small, but one thing I know for sure is that, and I've told Gene before and some other people here, there's a lot of great hymns in this hymnal. There's a tremendous amount, all the Mary Baker Eddy hymns, of course, and so very many. 232 is one of my favorites. 148 I love so very much. But as much as any of them, and maybe more, I love the last hymn we're going to sing tonight, which is 423. And I've often said, if everybody in the world had a hymnal, and everybody got out of bed in the morning, and they said these three verses that are in this song, there would be no wars, there'd be no animosity, there'd be only love, and only the thought about doing something for somebody else all the time, and being kind to everybody, like you talked about. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but, you know, when you talk about give me, O Lord, an understanding heart, and then where it goes from there. And, you know, it's just that hymn just means so much to me because I just think it's so kind. The hymn is kind, you know, and the words are kind. And it's like self-introspective, you know, where it says, dear, you know, you're asking, you know, dear Lord, you know, I was raised in Sunday school. I have a lovely church family. I have people that I care and love. You know, I have people I've not met yet that are going to be very special to me. You know, I want to be open with that thought, with kindness. And where do you start? What do you, you know, what building block could you build upon? There's so many. You know, the very chapter in the Bible that you're working with is certainly as strong as any of them. I've played a zillion weddings, and I've heard that repeated a zillion times. It's like wedding primer love 101. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you just know when you play a wedding, most of the time you're going to hear passages of that, and it's so real. But a good building block for me has always been this, the thought of this hymn. And so every time Gene picks it, or anybody, Scott picked it, or anybody else has picked it, I think I've communicated that to them, and I love it, the words of it so very much. So thank you again for your series on this. You know, I get don't get a chance very often to tell everybody how kind they are in this congregation, how grateful I am to be a part of it, how kind everybody has always been to me since the very first day I opened up in that door. And I see that kindness displayed to other people that come in here for the first time, and it's a real gift that we have. It's something very special we can give to the people that come here, is those acts of kindness. And again, it doesn't cost a nickel to show that. And it's just a part of the, you know, from the board on down, from the bottom, I mean, from the whatever, everybody in this congregation. And, you know, a year or so ago, I got to really see that at an alarming, not alarming, but just at an unbelievable rate. You know, people that I don't get a chance to talk to, you know, I get done playing the piano and sometimes, you know, people have just zoomed out of here. And I've known them and I've seen them and I've obviously played for them. And, you know, but I've never really had a chance to maybe really spend any time talk to them or say very much at all. So many of these people came to see me. People, here was my opportunity. It was like, you know, you're going to get this chance and here it is. And it was awesome. And the love of this family is just so, so meaningful to me. And it's always by means of kindness. And so everybody on the listen line, all the people that attend here, the members and everybody else that attend on a regular basis that aren't here, and certainly all of you that are here, I want to thank you so very much for the kindness that you've shown me and let you know how very much it means to me and how much I love this hymn 423. Thank you for choosing it.
Thank you.
Do we have time for one more quick one?
Sure.
When we lived down south for a couple of years, I noticed that the southern ladies, if anybody said something nasty to them, they'd say, "Bless your heart." And I always got the biggest kick out of that because it reminded me of my dad. He said, if anybody says something nasty, here's what I always say. That's the nicest thing anybody said to me all day. And it just, it totally dissipates the ill feelings or hate. It gets a laugh out of the person who said the nasty thing to you. And so I try to say that all the time to my wife if she's joking with me and trying to put me down or whatever. I say that, and we get the biggest hoot out of that. And on our mantle over our fireplace at our house, we have a plaque. I don't know, she got it at some country store somewhere, but it says cultivate kindness. And I believe it's Proverbs 3. And that's just a motto in our house, to try to cultivate kindness. Just wanted to share that.
Thank you. I'm glad you did. Well, let's conclude our service by singing hymn 423, Doug's favorite. I'll read the third verse. Give me, O Lord, a gentle, loving heart, that I may learn to be more tender, kind, and with thy healing touch, each wound and smart, with Christly bands of love and truth to bind. Hymn number 423.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientus Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.